Let's begin our Sunday school class. We open up with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your continued mercies to us in Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can study it together. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised that you would teach us. O blessed Holy Spirit, that you would do so even this day. We do thank you, Lord, for the instruction you give us. May it build us up in the most holy faith. We plead, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We come to a very familiar passage in Holy Scripture, one that has been studied much and needs to be studied much, and that is the Beatitudes, and it starts with verse 3 to verse 10. We want to consider verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is summarizing the characteristics of inward grace of all believers. All believers, without exception, will have these graces in their hearts to some degree or the other. And we come to a very important part in the grace of God worked in our hearts, and that is that of spiritual hunger and thirsting. This is that which our Lord Jesus Christ brings before his people, that as we are changed by his grace, one of the characteristics is that we will hunger, we will thirst after righteousness. There will be an appetite for holiness of life. You see, a true believer is one who feels an emptiness of conformity to the Lord Christ. He or she sees that they have a long ways to go. They see there is much to be done when it comes to the area of holiness. They feel as if they are not at all conformed to his image as they should be. They are not full of their own righteousness. They don't parade themselves as if I'm doing okay. So often, those who profess to be in Christ, they have a measure of walk, and they're very satisfied with that walk. They're satisfied as long as they do certain things, whether it's coming to church or reading Holy Scripture. But there is not the desire and the thirst after righteousness. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 42. He says in Psalm 42, and the first two verses, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. These are very strong terms. It's not a casual approach to God, but it is one where there is deep emotion and feeling and desire, where he says, as a deer pants for water, he's thirsty, he needs the water. So will my soul pant after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then shall I come and appear before him. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? He is not satisfied until he has an outpouring of God's mercy and grace, thirsting after him. And what does that mean? That means that he desires more and more to know his God, more and more to have fellowship with his God, more to be conformed unto his image. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 3, here's a group of people that the apostle speaks of when he says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." There are those who, in their own strength, seek their own righteousness. I'll determine the degree that I'm conformed to the image of God. I will determine what it is to be righteous. And they seek their own righteousness, which, as says Holy Scriptures, as filthy rags. No, our righteousness is found in Christ and in Christ alone. What was it with the church? In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, listen to the accusation of the Lord Christ. The church of Laodicea, in Revelation 3 and verse 17, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have no need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You think you're doing okay. You think you don't need to thirst. You don't need to hunger. Thirst and hunger is foreign to you. But then on the other hand, you're not worried about that, when in reality, you are poor. In reality, spiritually, that is, you are poor and empty and of great need." A true child of God is one who senses his or her great need to be conformed to the image of Christ. As we come to this, first of all, we want to establish that hunger and thirst can only come from being alive in Christ. One who is dead in their sins, one who doesn't know Christ, one who is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot in any way thirst after holiness. They can be a good citizen, they can try to do what they think is right, but there will not be a thirsting after righteousness. Ephesians 2, listen to the Apostle Paul in verse 1 of Ephesians 2. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, and just as others." The Apostle Paul says that the Lord Christ, he has made you alive. You were dead. There was no possibility in yourself of making yourself righteous before God. But you're dead, and the area of deadness is that of trespasses and sins. And he goes on in describing that condition apart from Christ when he says here in verse 3, "fulfilling the lust of our flesh," fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So you thirst after the flesh, you thirst after sin apart from Christ. You don't have any desire to follow after the Lord Christ. This is the state of someone void of grace. But you see, the Lord Christ is merciful to sinners. He came to save sinners. And he gives to sinners the grace to be hungry and thirsty for salvation in him. He talks about hungering and thirsting, coming to him by way of salvation. So you have imitations of the gospel in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Listen to Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you have no money, come, buy, eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Ho, everyone that thirsts. The Lord is the living waters. The Lord is salvation. You thirst as a sinner apart from Christ. Come, come, it's free. There's no money involved. There's nothing. Simply begging of grace, coming with a hand of faith, a penitent faith. It's the same invitation the Lord gives in John chapter 7, verse 37, when he stands before the multitude, and he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Initially, coming to Christ involves a thirst and a hungering, but that is not what is spoken of here in Matthew 5 and verse 6. No, here, secondly, we see that true hunger and thirsting that's spoken here is a great desire by a child of God to be completely conformed to the image of Christ in all areas of life and holiness. Not at all desiring to be somewhat holy. Not desiring to be somewhat acceptable, but desiring to be completely holy. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Colossians, the first chapter. In Colossians 1 and verse 10, this is the desire of the Apostle Paul for the people of God. He says that you, as the people of God, may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Walking worthy, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every work. That is the desire of a true child of God. That's what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then you have in Philippians, the third chapter and verse 10, where the apostle says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I might know him, that it might be more intimate in my relationship with God. That indeed the power of the resurrection might be felt as the Lord makes me more and more conform to his image. And he brings it out in a different form by saying, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain. There is this desire. What is the standard for every child of God? Every child of God has this written over the doors of their heart. And that is in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, when God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are not satisfied until we are perfect, and we are not perfect until we are in glory. Thirdly, those who claim to be Christians, yet they do not hunger. They do not come in repentance. There's no thirst at all. The scripture says, you'll perish. But I have a decision for the Lord. I've, you know, I've made a commitment to the Lord. I love the Lord, yet without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Without this thirst and hunger, it's evident that a man and woman, no matter what the profession, is not truly in Christ. And why? Well, first of all, they have never felt any emptiness. Never felt any emptiness. Do you feel, as a child of God, that there is so much more to be done? There's so much more to learn regarding God's will. Do you know God's will completely? Do you know all of His laws completely? Do you study and search the Scriptures? Is there that thirst? Is that hunger? Lord, what is it? What is it in my life that needs to be conformed unto Your image? What is it? Is there that attention? Or is it just that I'm a Christian? I'm happy with that. I'm going to heaven. And after all, preacher, as long as I get to heaven, who cares what happens? No, no, says our Lord. A true child of God is one who thirsts and hungers after righteousness. Secondly, those who do not hunger and thirst, they are content without holiness. If a person goes a day without food, they feel many times like, I can't go on. I didn't even eat yesterday. I'm so weak. I need food. But they can miss reading Holy Scripture, church, preaching, for any just little obstacle, little cause, and think nothing of it. Thirdly, a person with no spiritual hunger desires sleep rather than spiritual food. Listen to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, and in verse 9 of that chapter. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Those who sleep spiritually, those who fit this example given in Proverbs, sleeping. What does that mean? There's just no time for spiritual food. They desire to sleep rather than to study and to read. Sleep is more important than spiritual food. There's no spiritual hunger at all. It is once said this, throughout the centuries it has been true, that some come to church only for one purpose, and that is, as the preaching begins, they can take a nap. That's the only reason they come, is because, you see, they can sit and take a nap. They sleep. They hate to be awakened by the ministry. Fourthly, those who are spiritually hungry and thirsting, they're consistent. They're consistent in their thriving after holiness. They are constantly running to those places where God has so ordained, whereby He builds up His people, whether it's reading Holy Scripture, whether it's the preaching of the Word of God. Men do not miss a day of work. If they miss work too much, they get fired. They don't miss a day being on Facebook. They don't miss a day in recreations that they like. but they can miss over and over spiritual food that is offered to them by way of the preaching of the Word of God, by way of Holy Scripture in their hand, that they can do. Fourthly, spiritual hunger takes a lot of effort, a lot of endurance. It takes strength. To be holy is not easy. It can be a very painful exercise. For you see, Satan will attack the people of God and seek with all of his might to choke out the Word of God, to make it irrelevant, to pacify the people of God when they hear regarding their duty of being ones who thirst and hunger after righteousness. We see in the parable of the sower that the birds of the air come and they pluck out the word, so that even though they hear the preaching, even though they hear what the Word of God says, they actually do not hear. They don't at all pay attention to it, and it does not profit them. Being holy is a painful exercise in that it takes much effort, much endurance, much prayer. Secondly, hunger can only be satisfied with real spiritual food. You can bring flowers to a hungry man, he doesn't care. You can bring music, he doesn't care. What he needs is food. That's what he needs. He cannot live without food. He needs that. He hungers. He can only be satisfied with spiritual food. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside unto fable." They are not at all concerned about spiritual food, which is namely the Word of God brought to the heart by the Holy Spirit. They can't endure that. There's too many demands. It is not a lifestyle that fits their desires. They walk here upon the earth. They will not endure that teaching that calls them to responsibility and calls them to actions. But they want those teachers who will make them always happy and will satisfy them without ever touching their sins. And they'll turn their ears then away from truth. And even those things that are being said are not true, it doesn't matter, because they are going by feeling, and their feeling is that they don't want to be disturbed, but they desire to be led away from the truth. No, hunger, spiritual hunger, will only be satisfied with real spiritual food. Obstacles will be done away with. Hunger is attached to the Word of God, and it's attached to having a real appetite. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord has given to his church pastors, and these pastors are to equip the saints. And we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 12, "For the work of the ministry, for the edifying," that is the building up of the body of Christ, "till we all come to unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." That is what the Word is geared for. That is one of the benefits of having the Word of God, is to make the people of God mature to a measure of stature, the fullness of Christ, that is conformed to His image. There is involved in that a thirsting, a hungering, a desire after holiness. This, beloved, is what the Lord is saying here in Matthew chapter 8, or chapter 5, I should say, and verse 6. This is what he's saying when he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because when they seek it, because when they come with all of their heart, they shall be filled. They will be made perfect. They will be made mature in the faith." That's what perfect means. We'll be absolutely perfect when we get to glory. But there is that desire. So this is the question that we ask this morning of our lesson. And the question is this: do you thirst and do you hunger after righteousness? Is that what is on your mind as one of the areas of great importance as you live upon this earth and your Christian experience? Is it thirsting? Is it hungering? Do you ever come to a place where you sense there is so much to be done, so far to go? I'm hungry. I've seen a little bit. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has given me a measure of conformity to the image of Christ, of holiness, but I desire more. I desire more. Is that what characterizes you? Is that what characterizes, among other things, your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? Many are deceived in our day. Many are so-called believers who say within their hearts, "I believe in Jesus, I am a Christian," and yet in that day they stand before the Holy God, and they find out that He says, "I never knew you. Depart into everlasting burning." That He will say to you that you will not see my benefits. Why? Because you are not holy, you are not conformed, and you had no desire for that. It's convenient, isn't it, that professors in Christ can go to heaven and have all the blessings of heaven while still having much of this world and the lifestyle of this world. It's the best of two worlds, isn't it? Where you can live the way you want, you can live in a comfortable way, and there is no searching, there is no thirsting after righteousness, and you'll go to heaven, and that's nice. And you can then continue in whatever areas of life you so enjoy. That is the philosophy. That is the distorted gospel of our day. But for a child of God, is it not true that we long to be more and more conformed? We see each day the areas of sin that so easily beset us. We're constantly before the throne of grace, pleading that the Lord God would forgive us. And He is just to forgive us. He will forgive His people, wash them clean by His blood. But we desire that we put to death all sin within the heart. We desire that we walk holy and before Him. That is the life of a true child of God. Therefore, I want to be under the preaching of the Word of God. I don't want to be a casual attender to church. I desire to be underneath the preaching. Why? Because as the Word of God comes forth, the Lord may very well show me a little area, show me something whereby I can see that's what I need in being conformed to His image. I don't want to miss anything. I want to be under the preaching. And of course, the preaching must be under faithful servants preaching the truth. I want to read the Bible. How much time do we spend reading the Bible as opposed to other activities that we engage in? How much during the day do we find ourselves in the Holy Word searching? Lord, show me more and more how I may be conformed unto Your image. May the Lord God grant to us as believers more and more of this thirst, of this hunger. A lot of things people may say that we are not. But looking at our life and our conversation, professing to be Christians, one thing they do see is, wow, they really hunger after holiness. They desire to be conformed to the image. Wow, they seem to be so concerned, and they're not coasting. They're not just letting things go, but they want to be more and more like the Lord Christ. Now there's the testimony that can be more powerful at times than any words that we say, is how do we walk before God and before men. May God be pleased to grant us this grace. Our Father, we thank You so much for giving us these characteristics, and that, Lord, we look within our own hearts. We sense that we don't thirst as we should. We're not hungry as we ought to be. Do plead, O Lord, that You would stir our hearts, that You would give us more and more grace, and that it might be, Lord, to Your glory, that as we walk pleasing in Your sight in all things. I plead, Lord, that You would give us grace. In Your precious name, amen.